The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from the North Carolina Reading Service, formerly known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the AARP Bulletin for June 2019. And we're going to start off with their cover article, which is They Work for You. These national leaders are shaping the lives of older Americans, and here's what you should know about them. Quietly behind closed doors, leaders in Washington spend their days and often nights developing policies and programs for the next stage of American life. While many work for the government, they're not necessarily politicians, but expert thinkers and administrators running crucial operations like Medicare, Social Security, or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Others are outside government, but with important voices and huge influence. Who are these people? What do they believe? Meet some of the leaders who drive policy on issues vital to older Americans. To find out more and meet others who shape your life, go to aarp.org/insiders. The first one is Robert Redfield, MD. He is director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, otherwise known as the CDC. And this is On Guard Against Epidemics. Responsibilities. As director of the CDC, Redfield oversees a department of more than 12,000 employees across the United States and the world. He is responsible for controlling and managing major disease outbreaks, maintaining national health data, promoting the public health, and protecting the safety of the country's food and water supply. The CDC's disease prevention efforts include educating the public on how to recognize and avoid common infectious diseases such as the flu. His current priorities: combating opioid abuse, eliminating diseases when possible, especially HIV/AIDS and those that can be prevented by a vaccine, increasing the effectiveness of global health security and preparedness efforts, and preventing suicide. Background. Redfield grew up in a house steeped in medicine and health. Both of his parents were National Institutes of Health, NIH, scientists, and his mother worked there until she was in her late 70s. After graduating from Georgetown University School of Medicine, Redfield spent 2 decades at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, where he specialized in researching and treating HIV/AIDS and other infectious diseases. He retired from the U.S. Army Medical Corps in 1996 with the rank of colonel, then co-founded the University of Maryland's Institute of Human Virology and served as the chief of infectious diseases and vice chair of medicine at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. And here's what he says on becoming CDC director. The biggest challenge for me was to be able to accept the reality that when I took this job, I was no longer going to be able to practice medicine. On increasing the vaccination rate, I would like to get the American public to change their hearts and minds about vaccination. Vaccination is the most powerful tool we have to eliminate disease. One of the things that bothers me the most is when we leave science on the shelf. Not taking full advantage of vaccination is leaving science on the shelf. On brain health, clearly Alzheimer's and related dementias are a challenge for the older age group. Early diagnosis is key to helping people and their families cope with loss of memory, navigate the healthcare system, and plan for their care in the future. On health challenges of people 50 plus, when I look at older people, I see their biggest health challenges as cardiovascular disease, stroke, and the consequences of diabetes. It's important for us to understand the social determinants of health. Personally, he is married with 5 children, 2 of whom are doctors. At a glance, his age is 67. His home is Bethesda, Maryland, and his time in office, he was sworn in on March 26, 2018. Next, we have Leading the Fight Against Elder Abuse, and this is Judith Kozlowski, who is a consultant for the Department of Justice with the Elder Justice Initiative. At a glance, she is also 67. Her hometown is Euclid, Ohio, and her time in office, she's been a consultant since 2016. So, in leading the fight against elder abuse, responsibilities. The Elder Justice Initiative combats the financial exploitation of older Americans and elder abuse and neglect. Current priorities, working with the Federal Corporation for National and Community Service to train its more than 220,000 Senior Corps volunteers to recognize elder abuse and financial exploitation. Background. Kozlowski has fought to protect older folks from ripoffs through four decades. She was a federal criminal prosecutor for 20 years and a securities regulator and trial lawyer for 10 years for agencies including the Securities and Exchange Commission. She frequently trains FBI agents, prosecutors, and judges on elder financial exploitation. Testifying before the Senate Special Committee on Aging this year, she recalled how a late uncle, Howard Shaft, lost his savings in the 1990s in a penny stock scam targeting residents of a Leisure World community in Orange County, California. When he was swindled, the World War II veteran and retired restaurateur was in the early stages of Alzheimer's disease. That inspired her to keep fighting elder fraud. Kozlowski is a graduate of Oberlin College and New York Law School. Is what she says on the scope of the problem. Elder financial exploitation remains the most pervasive and fastest growing form of elder abuse in this country and the world. On recruiting others to the cause, I'm one of those people, if I end up talking to you on an airplane, I'll hoodwink you into doing something for me, but in a nice way. In this field, when you ask someone to do something, they will because they know it's so important. On what she used to tell jurors in closing arguments. This isn't just a crime about taking money. It's really, truly a crime about ending a life. It can't be repaired. Let's say you lose half of what you have, $2,000 or $200,000. Your life is upended. You may need to find a new place to live. You may need to find medical care. You may or may not have family that can help you. You may have cognitive issues. You can't just get another job and be a greeter at Walmart or pack groceries at Publix. And personally, she is married with two daughters, and she helps care for her father, who is 98. Next, we have Seema Verma, and she is an administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS. At a glance, it says here, she is 48 years old. Her hometown is Carmel, Indiana, and her time in office, she was confirmed CMS administrator by the U.S. Senate on March 13, 2017. Responsibilities. Verma directs Medicare and Medicaid as well as the exchanges of the Affordable Care Act, ACA. Together, these programs provide health care for more than 130 million of the country's oldest, sickest, and poorest people. Current priorities. Transforming the healthcare system to deliver better value for patients through competition and innovation. Strengthening and modernizing Medicare and Medicaid. Background. She developed the Health Indiana Plan, which requires Medicaid recipients to pay premiums that are then put into individual savings accounts. Verma has a master's degree in public health from Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. And here's what she says on the future of Medicare. I want to make sure that the changes that we are making and the impact that we are having is also going to the individual patient level. We are the nation's largest insurer. Whatever we do has an impact on the entire system. What I want to do is make sure that the moves that we make do have an impact on the whole healthcare delivery system. On what she believes needs to be done to lower the price of prescription drugs. I don't think there is a silver bullet. What we know does work is competition and negotiation. When there is competition, you do see the cost of drugs go down. That's what we're doing in Part D, giving them more tools so that they can drive down costs. On patients controlling their medical data. by having the information, it's not just about patients having access to their data and making it easier for them and their doctors, but it could really push the new generation of research and coming out with more cures and more personalized treatment. And Seema Verma is married with two children. Next, we have Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, who is chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. And this is called Setting the Financial Agenda. At a glance, Senator Grassley is 85 years old. His hometown is New Hartford, Iowa. And his time in office, he has been Senate Finance Committee chairman since January 2019. Responsibilities. Grassley sets the agenda for the powerful Finance Committee with broad jurisdiction over Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, trade, and taxes. His current priorities, lowering health care costs with a focus on prescription drugs. Our goal is to bring down the cost of drug prices that are a major reason that the cost of health care is going up. Background. Grassley grew up on a farm in a small town in north central Iowa. During and after college, he worked on the family farm and in factories. After years as a state lawmaker, he was elected to Congress in 1974, serving first in the House of Representatives and becoming a U.S. Senator in 1981. From 2015 to 2018, Grassley chaired the Senate Judiciary Committee and presided over the confirmation hearings for U.S. Supreme Court Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. He continues to serve on the Judiciary Panel, as well as the Budget and Agriculture Committees and the Joint Committee on Taxation. What he says on the need for transparency in prescription drug pricing. There's too much secrecy in all of this business, up and down the chain. I think with more transparency, you get the marketplace working better, and with transparency, you get more accountability. On trade, I support free trade agreements not just because of the benefits to the economy of my state. Free trade has reduced poverty worldwide from 50% to now under 10%. Countries that trade don't war. On nursing home safety, I'll continue to make it a top priority to ensure our most vulnerable citizens have access to quality long-term care in an environment free from abuse and neglect. I will continue shining the public spotlight on this issue for as long as it takes to fix these problems. And he is married with five children. Next, we've got Nancy Berryhill, who is the Acting Commissioner for the Social Security Administration. She is 61. Her hometown is Chicago, and time in office, she became acting administrator in January 2017. This is headlined, Guarding Benefits. Responsibilities. Oversees the nation's largest social insurance programs, providing benefits to retirees and their survivors. The SSA has a $12 billion budget and more than 63,000 employees. It issues more than $989 billion in payments to nearly 63 million people each year. Priorities, navigating the legislative battles over Social Security's funding. Background, Berryhill has worked at the SSA for more than 40 years. She is a graduate of the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. What she says on guarding Social Security numbers. As long as the SSN remains key to accessing things of value, the SSN itself will have commercial value and will continue to be targeted by fraudsters. On Social Security's expected depletion, slightly more than three-fourths of benefits would still be payable. Congress can keep Social Security strong by taking action to ensure its future. On disability claims, Social Security is committed to ensuring Americans quickly receive the benefits they need. Next, we have Lance Robertson. He is Assistant Secretary for Aging and Administrator of the Administration for Community Living, ACL, which is in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. He is 48 years old. His hometown is Wellston, Oklahoma. And his time in office, he was appointed by President Trump in August 2017. helping you age in place. Responsibilities. Robertson helps older Americans stay in their homes by administering funds for a network of aging and disability providers. He oversees a budget of about $2 billion and 200 employees. His current priorities: expanding work opportunities for older Americans, supporting caregivers, creating more options for community living. His background: he directed aging services in Oklahoma, and he helped start the Gerontology Institute at Oklahoma State University. And here's what he says on his job. ACL currently serves more than 140 million Americans. Ensuring choice, independence, and meaningful community inclusion is the hallmark of ACL's work and my life's mission. On working with Congress, I was really surprised but incredibly pleased how unifying our conversations were around the needs of older adults and people with disabilities. On the community agencies that serve seniors and people with disabilities, he says, the better their business acumen, the more efficiently they can deliver services. We all win. And he is married with two daughters. Next, we have Andrew M. Smith, who is director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection at the Federal Trade Commission, fighting consumer fraud. Responsibilities. He runs the bureau that protects consumers from unfair and deceptive commercial practices. He oversees a budget of $170 million and 450 employees. His current priorities: deceptive advertising, fake ratings, and reviews on the Internet. His background: he was an attorney with an attorney. Smith has often represented companies in consumer protection cases. Is what he says on fraud targets. Older Americans are not subject to more fraud, but when they do suffer a loss, it's a much higher amount. On the FTC's Pass It On campaign, we are giving information to older Americans about fraud to pass along to friends and family. On balancing interests of consumers and corporations, my focus right now is how do we best protect consumers? We are not in business to protect companies. And personally, he is married with two daughters. And our next fellow is called the policy shaper, and that is Representative Richard Neal, who is a Democrat of Massachusetts, and he is chairman of the Ways and Means Committee in the U.S. House of Representatives. He's 70 years old. His hometown is Springfield, Massachusetts, and he became Ways and Means chairman in January 2019. Responsibilities. Neal chairs arguably the most powerful committee in the House of Representatives. Ways and Means has control over tax policy, Social Security, Medicare, and trade. As chairman, he sets the agenda for his committee, decides when to hold hearings on an issue, and is responsible for shepherding legislation through the panel. His current priorities are opposing efforts to privatize Social Security or make big cuts to Medicare, shoring up multi-employer pension plans, making it easier for people to set aside money for retirement by working on the federal level to build on something like the Work and Save programs set up by some states. His background. Neal has appreciated the importance of Social Security since he was in high school. His parents died when he was a teenager, and Social Security survivor benefits allowed him and his two younger sisters to live together with their grandmother and later an aunt. Neal has been in politics for most of his career. After briefly teaching high school history, at 23 he became an assistant to the mayor of Springfield, Massachusetts. He was elected to the Springfield City Council at 28 and mayor at 34. He has been in Congress since 1989. He still lectures at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Here's what he says on prescription drugs. The challenge is, how do you stabilize prices and not kill innovation? We all agree that breakthrough medications have been transformative, but innovation won't do you any good if you can't afford it. On government, private sector creates wealth, but government creates opportunity. On the value of Social Security, when you look at the efficiency of the system, it's pretty remarkable. I would always oppose any notion of privatizing Social Security. Keeping a good, strong safety net is very, very important. on the changing role of Medicaid. It has quickly evolved from a program for the poor to now what has effectively become long-term care in America. He is married with 4 children. And next, we've got Tracy D. Brown, who is CEO of the American Diabetes Association, or the ADA, and she is taking on diabetes. She's 52 years old. Her hometown is Rochester, New York, and she became CEO on June 1, 2018. Her responsibilities are: ADA is the nation's leading voluntary organization working to prevent and cure diabetes. It funds research and educates the public. As CEO, Brown oversees an organization with 490 employees and a budget of $156.9 million. Current priorities: advocating for people with the disease while continuing her initiative to improve the finances at ADA. Background: Brown is the first ADA CEO to live with diabetes. She was diagnosed 15 years ago. She is a former senior vice president of operations at Sam's Club, a subsidiary of Walmart. And here's what she says on diabetes: it's one of the biggest health epidemics of our time. As you age, you don't exercise as much. Maybe you're not eating as well and gaining weight. All these things increase your factors for type 2 diabetes. On testing: getting tested for diabetes is important for everyone, especially older Americans. The first step to managing is just knowing, are you living with diabetes? On her job: this position here at the ADA is that final piece that has brought purpose, passion, and position together. And Tracy Brown is married with a teenage daughter. Next, we've got Victoria Lipnick, who is acting chair of the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or the EEOC, and she is fighting age discrimination. Responsibilities: she runs the agency that enforces federal laws protecting workers from discrimination due to age, race, sex, religion, disability, or national origin. The EEOC has a budget of $379 million and nearly 2,000 employees. Her current priorities are launching the Employment Opportunities Project, designed to help older adults train for new jobs, and exploring ways to prevent age bias and retaliation for complaints. Her background: Lipnick became an EEOC commissioner in 2010. She previously served as Assistant Secretary of Labor for Employment Standards and as in-house counsel for labor and employment matters at the U.S. Postal Service. Here's what she says on experienced workers: there is so much talent in older workers. We as a country should not leave that on the sidelines. On the similarities between age discrimination and sexual harassment: age discrimination is as much an open secret as sexual harassment was. It just hasn't had the same profile yet. On finding new careers: we talk a lot about the skills gap, but there are a lot of people who are underemployed. And her father was mayor of her hometown for 25 years. She is 58 years old. Her hometown is Carrolltown, Pennsylvania. And her time in office: she was appointed acting chair on January 25, 2017. Next, we have Robert L. Wilkie, Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, or the VA. He is 56. His hometown is Fayetteville, North Carolina. And his time in office: he was appointed in July 2018. He is advocate for older vets. Responsibilities: runs the agency that cares for the nation's 21 million veterans. With 370,000 employees and a $200 billion budget, the VA is the second largest federal agency after the Department of Defense. The Veterans Health Administration runs 172 medical centers and nearly 1,100 outpatient clinics. The current priorities: cutting the time veterans wait for care, completing a new electronic health record system to modernize appointment scheduling and improve communications, slashing the backlog of disability claims and payments to providers. Wilkie's background is: he was born into a military family. He served in the Navy Reserve from 1997 to 2008 as a psychological and information warfare officer. Since 2008, he has served in the Air Force Reserve, where he's currently a colonel. He served as Assistant Secretary of Defense from 2005 to 2009 and from November 2017 until his appointment as the VA Secretary in 2018. He was Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness. Wilkie has also worked in the private sector as a vice president for the global engineering company CH2M Hill. He holds a law degree from Loyola University College of Law in New Orleans. Here's what he says on improving morale. VA as an institution has experienced a great deal of trauma on the personnel level. You can't provide customer service for America's veterans if morale is low. On allowing veterans private care. I'm striving to create that balance between the ability of the veteran to choose health care if we cannot provide it in a timely manner, and enhancing VA's core services so that we really are providing medicine that is as good as or better than any in the country on a younger set of veterans. For the first time since the fall of Saigon, more than half of our VA population is under the age of 65. We have to strike a balance between those on opposite sides of that dividing line. On criticism that the department is privatizing some benefits. 10 years ago, our budget was $98 billion. Today, it is $200 billion. 10 years ago, we had 280,000 employees. Today, we have 370,000. So if we are privatizing this place, we're going about it in the wrong way. And Wilkie was born in Frankfurt, Germany. He's married with a son and a daughter, and he is the son of a wounded combat veteran. And our last Washington Insider today is Richard J. Hodes, M.D., who's director of the National Institute on Aging. And he is at war with dementia. He's 75 years old. He's from New York, and he was appointed in 1993. I'm not sure we're going to get to the end of this, but we will try. His responsibilities are he directs the federal effort to find ways to prevent and treat diseases associated with aging. The National Institute on Aging, NIA, has an annual budget of over $3 billion, 451 employees, and 209 trainees. Current priorities, the NIA supports 138 ongoing clinical trials focused on dementia and Alzheimer's disease and has funded studies that have spurred the development of potential therapies. Hodes graduated magna cum laude from Harvard Medical School in 1971. He previously worked at the National Cancer Institute for 20 years. On aging, he says, it's a privilege that can be earned by taking advantage of all that we know about the right things to do for health and quality of life. Changes in the brain typical of Alzheimer's can occur 20 and 25 years before symptoms appear. A lot of the research we're doing involves studying people at these earlier stages. And now we are going to have to wind up. I hope you've enjoyed this. I hope you'll listen next time. I'm Florence Nash, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, formerly known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long till next time. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138.